series on smashing idols, and today is the first time that we're going to look at a specific idol. Now, for those who think the term idol is an outdated term, it simply means anything that is loved or wanted or treasured or enjoyed more than God. Okay, it takes the place of God, and God is clear right from the start of his word in Exodus 20 that that's not the way we should go about things. He says you should have no other gods. Okay, so an idol, idolatry starts in the heart with us wanting or craving or treasuring or being satisfied with anything other than God. Okay, so we are going to kick off today with a nice easy idol, and that is the idol of entertainment. Okay, so Netflix, Amazon Prime, TV, films, social media, music, books, playing games, Instagram, Facebook, the list goes on and on and on of the things that can entertain us. I see two of the younger generation doing a big fat nod. Now let me say this from the outset, entertainment in itself isn't a bad thing, okay? Entertainment in itself isn't sinful. There's some good things about it. It helps us to relax, sometimes gives us a bit of a sense of adventure, gives us new things to talk about with other people, keeps us in the loop of things. There's actually entertainment in the Bible. The Psalms are littered with music and dancing. And Paul the Apostle is thought to be a real well-known person of poetry and of theatre. There is a T in the H right at the start of that. But for us, entertainment is built into our very culture, isn't it? And often available at our fingertips. So a good thing can also be a distraction. It can also be a means of escape. Now, I don't know about you, but you're with your friends sometimes, they get a bit boring, you pull out your phone. Maybe you're in a meeting, a bit dull, you check your football scores, see what's going on. Maybe you come back from work and you're stressed and your day has just been, hectic. Turn on the TV and veg out in front of it. You need to escape. Where do you go to? Maybe you pick up your iPad. Maybe you get engrossed in a book that takes you away from the reality of just how tough stuff is at the minute. Entertainment is often an easy escape and distraction from the pain and stresses and inconveniences of life. Now, someone who knew about the pain and the stress of life was King David. And we're going to look at Psalm 25 and we're going to see what is it that he done when his heart was troubled. When he felt overwhelmed. Now, for King David, he didn't whack out his iPad, fair enough. But hopefully, in looking at what he did, we can look at what we can do and actually how our relationship with entertainment should be as followers of Jesus. So, Andy's going to come and read Psalm 25, and then we're going to crack on.
Okay. Psalm 25. In you, Lord my God, I put my trust. I trust in you. Do not let me be put to shame, nor let my enemies triumph over me. No one who hopes in you will ever be put to shame, but shame will come from those who are treacherous without cause. Show me your ways, Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me. For you are God, my Saviour. And my hope is in you all day long. Remember, Lord, your great mercy and love, for they are from of old. Do not remember the sins of my youth and my rebellious ways. According to your love, remember me. For you, Lord, are good. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore he instructs sinners in his ways. He guides the humble in what is right and teaches them his way. All the ways of the Lord are loving and faithful. Towards those who keep the demands of his covenant. For the sake of your name, Lord, forgive my iniquity, though it is great. Who then are those who fear the Lord? He will instruct them in the ways they should choose. They will spend their days in prosperity, and their descendants will inherit the land. The Lord will be quiet to those who fear him. He makes his covenants known to them. My eyes are ever on the Lord, for only he will release my feet from the snare. Turn to me and be gracious to me, for I am lonely and afflicted. Relieve the troubles of my heart and free me from my anguish. Look on my affliction and my distress, and take away all my sins. See how numerous are my enemies, and how fiercely they hate me. Guard my life and rescue me. Do not let me be put to shame, for I take refuge in you. May integrity and uprightness protect me, because my hope, Lord, is in you. Redeem Israel, O God, from all their troubles.
Okay, so David's situation. You can see from the psalm that David is struggling, okay? So he's struggling with fear and loneliness, guilt and confusion. If you look just down some of the verses, verse 2, he's fearful. This guy's got a lot of enemies. They hate him, and he doesn't want them to win over his life. Now, I don't know if you've ever been in that situation where you feel like, man, people are queuing up to hate me. Maybe that's you, maybe you can identify with that, or maybe you're fearful about something else, but fear runs throughout the whole psalm. David's fearful. What else? Verse 16, he's lonely. We don't know why he's lonely, maybe he's been deserted, no one's there, maybe he's just had unreliable people about him. Maybe you can identify with that too. Maybe actually you've got loads of people around you, but actually you still feel lonely. Verse 7, David is struggling with guilt and with shame. He says to God, God, don't remember my sin. I know that I've messed up, and I've messed up time and time again. There's a lot of it, and it needs forgiveness. Verse 11. And he says to God, God, verse 18, take it away. He's struggling with his guilt and his shame of the stuff that he's done wrong. And look, he's confused. Verse 4 and verse 5, it's like, God, show me, guide me. If there's ever someone who's a bit discombobulated, this is David. Like, I don't know what to do. His heart is troubled. And he's troubled because of stuff that's going on externally, around about him. And he's troubled because of stuff that's going on deep inside of him. And he had a reason to want to escape. Like that list alone, that was reason enough to want to escape, to run away and to hide. But actually, how does David respond? What does he do? Verse 15. He looks to the Lord. He looks to God, only to God, because he is the only one. He is the only one who can release his feet from the snare. And so he waits, and he hopes, and he trusts in what? In God, verse 3 and 5. He knows that relief and forgiveness are found where? Only in God, verse 7. And so when he's feeling troubled, and he's feeling overwhelmed, and he doesn't know where to turn, he turns to God because God is his place of refuge, verse 20. And so here, this is a poem, this psalm is a poem of David pouring it all out before God in prayer. And look, it's not a one-off. He says in verse 5, every day, all day long, my eyes are on the Lord. This isn't one quick fix, one quick prayer, one quick devotion in the morning, and off he goes. All day long, my eyes are on you, God. Now, why look up and why set his troubled heart on God? Because David knew who God was and who God is. He knew. He knew the person and the character and the things that this God was able to do. Here's a little list from this psalm. Verse 5, God was the Saviour. That's why David fixed his eyes on him. Verse 7, God was good. Verse 9, God teaches and he guides. Verse 10, he's loving and faithful. Verse 18, he's forgiving. Verse 20, he is the one that rescues. Of course he's going to look up to his person. Why wouldn't you? That is a great list. That's a reason to have your eyes fixed upon someone. David is saying, God, I've got all this stuff going on inside and outside of me, and it's too much. But you are my only escape. You are my only hiding place. You're the only one that can bring relief to my troubled heart. Now, I wonder for us what we do when we feel like David. I don't know this morning if you're feeling fearful or just a bit overwhelmed by your sin, or if you're feeling lonely or confused or anxious, some of those things that David was feeling. What do we do with that this morning? Where do we go with that? Where do we escape to? Now let me share something with you. This is a BBC drama called Line of Duty. Has anyone seen it? Okay, a couple of people. Great, great series. Don't know that I should be endorsing a series when I talk about the idea of entertainment. But in moderation, please enjoy this series. So good, so good. Now, it's a bit weird that I'm talking about entertainment because I'm not massively into TV or into films or games. Every now and again, I watch like a little box set before we have one on the go, but it's not really my thing. It became my thing before Christmas. So before Christmas, I started watching this. I don't even really know why. I think someone recommended it to me. And in the first four series, there's 23 episodes. Each episode is an hour long. For those of you who are mathematically challenged, that's 23 hours worth of TV. I absolutely came all 23 hours in a week and a half. What? And I wasn't on holiday, let's just be clear about that. So I was still going about my day-to-day life, I was going to work, I wasn't putting my sunlight under the stairs when I got home so I could binge watch, like I was still being a mum, and yet somehow in a week and a half, I found 23 hours of my life to binge watch this series. Now Paul gets around to me, Jen, you are addicted. I was like, no, I'm not, standing there cooking with the iPad in front of me. And he's just like, what on earth is going on? Like, you cannot stop watching this programme. Like, Paul, he's so good as you're watching it. You know, and there's a light-heartedness to it. But actually, when I think about what was really going on and what was really happening at the time for me, I was watching this at times when I had space and I didn't want my mind to wander on to what was actually going on in my little world. And so I used it as a means for escape. Just before I go to bed, let me just watch an episode so I can just switch off and I don't have to think about what's going on. And the reality for me was, work was really challenging and stressful. There was relational stress and challenges. And do you know what? I just needed to go away from it. Now, like I said, that's not bad in and of itself, but actually, where was God in the midst of that? Where was my escape to Him? See, I was still doing my daily devotionals, but my eyes weren't ever on God. It's like, God, I need to escape, and so I'm going to run to this thing. But I tell you what, I got to the end of four series. So good. Got to the end of the four series. I'm not going to lie, that entertainment's good, you know. And I got to the end of it, and do you know what? My heart was still overwhelmed, and I still felt sad, and I still felt anxious. And everything around me was still exactly as it was the day that I started watching episode one, season one. And do you know what? It gave me light relief. But it didn't bring peace to the deep part of my heart that needed that peace. Because actually, that's only found in Christ. And you know, when I've done what David did, I've reminded myself of who God is. God, I'm going to come to you because actually you're the only one who can sort me out of this mess and sort out the mess around me. Do you know what? That's when stuff changed. So easy for my priorities to get slightly disordered. They became Line of Duty and then it became God. And so I brought it out before God and I switched off my iPad. And I don't even know if season 5 has dropped yet. I'm not even looking. What do we do, church, when we're feeling overwhelmed? What do we do when we resonate with someone like David? Where do we go? Where do we escape to? See, it's so easy for enjoyable things to become the ultimate thing. So easy. TV ain't even my thing, and it became an ultimate thing. So easy. But the truth is, entertainment is unable to satisfy, truly, truly satisfy the longings of our heart. It's a temporary fix, because you know what? When we wake up from hours of binge-watching Netflix,
stuff is still the same. When we lift up our head from a book that we've been using to escape from the stresses and the strains of life, guess what? We've just been putting off the inevitable. When we're scrolling through our social media, scrolling through, and we put a phone down, wow, where's that album on? Everything's still the same. Because we've not taken it to the one who is able to bring change and transformation. We've taken it to something that can't. And so this morning for you, when your heart is troubled, how do you medicate? Let me say that again. When your heart is troubled, how do you medicate? Do you pick up your phone? Do you pick up your book? Do you switch on a football and veg out in it until all your problems are far removed from your mind? And so let me ask you this morning, really simply, has entertainment become an idol for you? Just slightly distorted the place of God. Now, I wouldn't be surprised if there's at least one person in this room who's like, man, here, that's so me. That is so my idol. And you recognise it and you're owning it whilst you sat there in your seat. But I reckon for quite a few of us, we're sitting there thinking, entertainment ain't my idol. I'm fine. I'm okay. The hours that I spend watching TV, that's fine. The books and books and books that I read to escape anything, that's fine. So let me ask you this. Really ask God. Psalm 139, God search me and know me. Test my thoughts. Tell me what's going on. Tell me the stuff that I can't see. So ask yourself and ask God. And you know what? Maybe look back over your past week or your past 2 weeks and really, really be honest with yourself and look at your entertainment use. Now, if you've got an iPhone, you can tell me how long you've been on it for. Woo. Some people celebrate. It's only been 4 hours this week, and that's one thing amongst many. Because often where we spend our time says something about where our heart is. And so ask yourself, where have you spent your time? In preparation for today, I came across an article that asked 4 really good questions, but they're so good that I actually put them on for what I've been having. Praise God for interns. 4 simple questions about your entertainment usage. I'm just going to tell you quickly here, but I really, really encourage you to take one of these and to pray them through before God. Like, God, come on, let's have a serious, honest, heart-to-heart conversation about my entertainment use. And these are the kinds of questions that there is. Is entertainment leading me to a deeper enjoyment of God? Am I using entertainment as a means of escape rather than finding comfort in the character and the promises of God? Does entertainment hold power over my life? Does entertainment increase or hinder my fellowship with other believers? They're the questions. So I'd really encourage you to take one of these away. So ask God, ask yourself, do you know what? Ask others. If you've got a spouse, ask them what they are seeing. Do you know that? Like, keep going on. Oh, you're addicted. Oh, you're addicted. And you know what? I wasn't addicted. I kind of was. I wasn't really addicted. But you know, it took someone who's seeing what's what to call me out on my stuff. So ask your spouse, or ask your flatmate, or ask someone who knows what's what and how you escape. And get them to honestly tell you what they're seeing in your life. And then, what do we do with that? Well, you know what, if it's taking more time and more enjoyment and more attention than Jesus, then church, we need to surrender that. If entertainment, whatever form it may be a whole strand or maybe one strand, if it is taking the priority over Jesus, then we need to smash that idol. And how do we do that? Primarily, we do that in prayer. Like, lay before God, God. Like, this entertainment's got a crown on it rather than you. And lay it before Him. And do you know, prayer has the power to break the power that things have over our lives. And so if you recognise that that's you today, or maybe you go away and reflect on that this week, God, please help me with that. turn off the iPad. I just needed to not go on to BBC iPlayer unless it was for a CBeebies bedtime story for my son, who equally might be addicted. I just needed to leave it be and not turn it on and not pick it up. And maybe that's for you, maybe that's what we need to do. Maybe you need to set limits and times on the stuff that you're looking at or the book that you're reading. Maybe we just need to disconnect. Church, we need to surrender this stuff if it's become an idol. And do you know what? Like, the world we're looking on, people see what's what. You know, I want my life, and I want for you the life of the church, that people look and see, man, these people in times of trouble, they follow hard after Jesus. Not they pick up a tablet. And so we surrender, and what else? We encounter. We encounter Christ. See, David knew that encountering the living God actually satisfied his heart's desire. And for us as Christians, or this morning, if you're here and you don't know Jesus and you're not a follower of him, see, Jesus made it possible for us to encounter the living God, creator and sustainer of the heavens and the earth. Jesus came and led a perfect life and died a horrible death so that we could be made right with him. And so that the stuff that separates and spoils our friendship with him got removed and we could be friends with God. And that's because of God's great love for us. And so, church, you know, we encounter Jesus because he is the one, it says in Matthew 11, 28 to 30, he is the one that gives rest to the weary and burdened soul. Peace that passes all understanding, Ephesians 4, 7, is found where? In Jesus. We have a friend that sticks closer than a brother when we are lonely, and that is Jesus. That's Proverbs chapter 18, 24. And church, there's no empty promises in that. He satisfies. He satisfies the longings of our hearts. He's the one that satisfies when our hearts are troubled. And it's almost like this positive circle of life. About to sing our line from the song. The more we go to Jesus, the easier it is to keep him as our priority. And then the more we go to him, and the easier it is to keep him as our priority. It goes round and round and round. And see, when we encounter, do you know what? Laying down that other stuff, it becomes sort of irrelevant. I thought this morning, I really don't know if it's a good analogy, but let's roll with it. You know, you may be used to eating a tin of Spam. I love Spam. Spam sandwiches as a kid, man. I know you're the one. I think that says a lot about your upbringing. But I love eating Spam. But do you know what? I also love steak. If you give me a choice now out of eating a steak or having a slice of Spam, I'm going to choose steak every day long. Jesus is the steak and the entertainer is the Spam. Charlie's nodding. Thank you, Lord. Like, do you know what? When we encounter the one who is just so amazing and the one who so can satisfy, do you know what? Everything else just looks like a bit of Spam. I'm going to move on from the Spam card. I realise I'm probably not a bit to death. David says elsewhere in Psalm 101, verses 2 and 3, he says, I will not set before my eyes anything that is worthless. Are we setting before our eyes stuff that is worthless? And stuff that is taking the place of Christ? See, this week as a church, we've been looking at how we surrender to encounter. And do you know what? You're sitting here this morning, that you're not a follower of Jesus. We believe that Jesus came to set us free and to give us life and life in all its fullness. And do you know, the whole idea of surrendering to encounter, that wasn't a gimmick. You know, as a leadership team, we want to see this in our lives and in the lives of our body. Okay, so that's you. That we will lay down the stuff that is hindering us, so that we can encounter afresh the God who satisfies. And do you know what? The whole series is Smashing Idols as well. Might be a catchy title, but again, like, we're serious about this, guys. We are serious about this because, you know, if we get the right priority and God, again, is number one in every area of our lives, that will bring massive transformation to us as individuals, us collectively, and us when we go out with the good news of who Christ is. And so it's not a gimmick. We want to see the things that are entangling us and are holding us back. We want to see them thrown off in 2020. And we want to see us running hard after Jesus as our number one priority. It says in 2 Timothy 3:4 that we don't want to be lovers of pleasure, but rather lovers of God. That's the desire for my life. And that's the desire for you guys this morning, that we be lovers of God, not lovers of pleasure. And so this morning, I say again, that if you know that entertainment has become an idol, that that is your refuge, that that is your hiding place, that your eyes are ever on something else other than God, then lay it down this morning. Lay it down this morning. And if you know that you are escaping from what's going on internally and externally by running to entertainment, lay it down. Psalm 25 shows us that true shelter is found in God. And if you know, like, genuinely before God, when he searched you and he's talked to you about it, that, you know what, entertainment for me isn't an idol, it's not my thing. And actually, for quite a few of us this morning, that might not be your thing. Just maybe be mindful of how much time you're spending looking at the stuff we're looking at. And actually consider, what am I looking at and what am I listening to? My youth work always used to say back in the day, what rubbish goes in, rubbish comes out. And I think there's probably a little bit of truth in that. It says in Philippians 4, verse 8, it says, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, think about these things. How do we apply that to our entertainment? The stuff that we hear and the stuff that we see. David says in Psalm 25, my eyes are ever on the Lord, for only he will release my feet from the snare. Let's pray. God, we think about David, and man, I can so identify with him at times. And maybe for us this morning, in the same or in different ways, we've got troubled hearts, or there's stuff coming externally or stuff coming internally at us, and we know that our hearts are troubled. God, I pray that we'd be marked out as followers of Jesus who come to you first rather than go to our entertainment as a means of distraction and escape. And so, God, I pray this morning by the power of your Spirit that you search us and you will know us. You will expose in us, God, where we seek refuge from those things, those screens, those books, that sport, rather than from you. And God, if in any way we've disordered our priorities and you become even a quick second, God, I pray that we would reverse that this morning, that we would be a church who identify and smashes its idols. Because we know that actually with you, you are the one who satisfies, you are the one who frees, you are the one who brings peace and joy and hope. And Netflix and our games, they don't do that. And so thank you afresh this morning, Jesus, for who you are. Thank you for the truth of Psalm 25 of who you are and of what you do. And God, I pray this morning that we fix our eyes afresh on that, to see you again for who you really are, and that everything else will fade into the background. God, for your glory in our lives and your glory in the church.